Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm Sophie Bidard, host of the Academy for the Soul radio show, Rainbow Illuminations, Academy ambassador and expert in all things emotional. Today, I'm here with Crystal Hughes, the creator of Academy for the Soul, the online school for intuitive arts. Crystal is a multisensory intuitive with a reputation for lightning fast and laser focused intuitive readings. Known as the spiritual trainer to the stars, Crystal's purpose is to bring and shine light into the world and to operate as a conduit of divine truth. And in this interview today, we are discussing holographic hooks and removal through the 1111 gateway. So welcome, Crystal, and thank you for sharing with us about this fascinating topic.
Hi, Sophie. Thank you for having me. So great to be here and to connect with everyone.
Yeah, welcome. It's great to have you. So
you.
I find it very intriguing, this whole notion of holographic hooks. And I'm really curious to know more and to really understand. So I'm going to ask you many candid questions, if that's okay. Very, very basic questions, okay?
Sure,
and to start, you know, I was thinking about it and I imagine little fishing hooks kind of biting into the skin. And that really doesn't sound very pleasant, but that's probably not what it's about, right?
Well, so. I mean, let's not say that's not fully what it's about, because when you mention fishing, right, have you ever been with someone and they're fishing for attention or they're fishing for a reaction from you, right? That's something that we say, you know, we have that term, right? When someone's fishing. And so, yes. Absolutely, it could be a little fishing hook, because that's a reaching out, right? It's creating a dynamic. It's creating a scenario where one person is hooking the energy of someone else, right? Yeah.
Okay. So now the way you see them, though, how do they look like? And also, how does it feel to have these holographic hooks? And also, I'm interested in where are they plugging into within us? And what are they attached to outside of our being?
That's a lot of questions, Sophie.
I know. I want to know everything about it.
You want to know? Yes. So maybe we start at the beginning. Right. And so just as I was giving you that example of the terms that we use and how we actually have terminology, right? Our language is sharing the secrets of what's happening in the holographic realm. And I think when we look at this, we're looking at the holographic hooks. And so we have to look at what's behind the veil, right? As an intuitive that has the ability to peer deeply within the layers, I'm able to see beyond just the behavior and the behavioral patterns displayed by someone's personas and how they're interacting. I'm looking deeply within. And that's an important piece of this, because our language and our behavior actually prompts the energetics. And it prompts how we interact energetically with another or with an environment, you see? So we could say things like, you know, I hooked up with him last night. We hooked up. And that literally means that there's an energy that was prompted. And with that prompt, our aura took on a shape. Or there's a bioplasmic energy that came out of us to the other person and literally hooked us together, right? So we also find that when we're talking about energy, something like that would be, you know, we're going to tie the knot, right? And so what does that bring up, right? Visually, think about this, right? What does it bring up? They're tying the knot. Well, they're bonded, aren't they? They're bonding in a way. Their energy is literally now tying itself together, right? So when we are speaking about this concept of holographic hooks, these are hooks that can come out of a person's being, and literally, if you can imagine, coming from one of the chakras of a person, let's say it's a sexual type of situation where someone's interested in another and starts to fantasize. There's a cord that has a hook on the end if they're wanting to actually manipulate the circumstances or situation. And that cord goes right into the sacral chakra of that other person and hooks them and starts to draw upon their energy, starts to pull them, right? It's like, I'm pulling you closer, I'm pulling you closer, I'm pulling you in. And again, in reality, there's a lot of dynamics with the behavior of each of those people. Maybe if it's a male wanting to engage a woman in some kind of love, you know, sensual, sexual relationship, and that hook goes out, maybe she wants to be hooked, right? Maybe she's actually been flirting with him, and she wants to be hooked. So that actually, in that moment, in the dynamic that they're creating, it feels good, right? It's like, ooh, he's into me. Literally, he's into me, right? The hook's there. And these hooks can show up in so many ways in which, again, if we're looking at it from chakra to chakra, what we're starting to see is that there's a cord attached and there's hooks in both chakras, right? It's like if she responds and she likes that, she's wanting to hook him and draw him even closer to her, right? And just imagining them kind of across the room from each other at a party, right? And then, ooh, here's the hook, and she's flirting, and he's like making his way over there, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a dynamic, and that hook can be a very small hook, like you were saying, maybe like a little fish hook, right? Or it can be bigger. And we can see these hooks as very small going to something much, much more larger, right? So we have to watch out because we are vulnerable. And especially, you know, when we start to look on a global scale, what are we being hooked into? What ideas are we being hooked into, right? What emptiness? Yeah.
Yeah, because so I hear you, okay, we are hooked or being hooked person to person, and I'm wondering, can we be hooked to a place? Can we be hooked to an idea? And can we be hooked to thoughts? Can we be hooked to other than a person?
You can. And just think about if you've ever been, I know you're not really into TV, right? But maybe think of when you were younger, right? You can be hooked into a TV show. You can find yourself, because it spurs on this feeling of, I've got to have it. I need to watch that show. I can't wait for the next episode, right? So start to think about what's going on during our time right now. When you have endless amounts of, you know, shows and movies and all these things, literally you're hooked. It's like there's a hook coming out of the TV and it's got your power center and now you're pulled, right? And so you might binge watch a show, right? So there's something internally in you that actually, and in a strange way, likes that energy hook, right? And we have to be responsible for this, and we really do have to pay attention to what we're thinking, how we're interacting with the space. So also there's dynamics that are created. Now, I want to just say this, that empaths are especially vulnerable to the hooking, right? And during this time where we can see that a lot of the dynamics are changing and shifting in our environments, we know that we can be in a chronic state of overwhelm. It's pretty easy these days. Our nervous system is shot. And we could potentially be in this chronic state of overwhelm, especially if there's stress added upon, like extra stress added upon. And with empaths, sometimes they can actually be in a chronic on state, if you will, or open state of being. And when someone like an empath is hooked, usually with empaths, they're the ones that are hooked into some sort of engagement with the environment. Because I want to bring this up, Sophie, if you have an environment that is chronically bombarding you, right? What you're doing is you're engaging with that environment, trying to escape that environment, right? But isn't it a battle going on? You then battle with the environment. If the neighbors won't, you know, stop their barking dog that's just literally barking and barking and barking at all times, day and night, and you're a stay-at-home mom, you know, and you're just like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? I'm being bombarded with this. You then get into battle with that experience. And so you find yourself vulnerable to the environment of what's going on, especially, let's say, empaths in a work type of situation as well. You can get hooked in. And this is for everyone in work situation. It isn't just empaths, but I just see it a lot more with empaths and how vulnerable they are and how easy it is for the hooks to come in. But say that I've got this client, I'll give you this example. I've got this client who is a high-level intuitive. She's amazing at reading. And for years, I've been working with her as a client, as a student, and really encouraging her to move out of the corporate world, right? And she can't. She's hooked in, right? If I look at her energetically and holographically, she's literally in the container of this corporation, right? And what I see is from all sides, they've got these hooks inside of her, right? Financially, she doesn't want to make the transition to doing a healing practice full time because she's afraid that it's not going to bring her as much money, right? Because there's that transition time period, right, where it's like, ooh, this is change. She's avoiding that change. Then what we see is that she's on a salary, and so what this means is that they've hooked her into time. So she's now hooked in a way of time. And strangely enough, she knows what she's going to be doing every day, so there's some kind of safety in that, right? She doesn't have to take a challenge. So she's stuck there, but again, it's hooking her time. So on the 4D, the fourth dimension is the time and space, right? So do you see how the hooks work? She's in this corporate job. She's hooked into time. She's hooked, which is basically that 4D. She's hooked into space because she has to be in that container, in that end field, right? And what we see is that she's miserable, though. She's miserable throughout the day because she has no freedom, right? Mm-hmm. So she's starting to feel the impact of these hooks. But is she willing to shift and change her subconscious tendencies, her patterns, her paradigms, and actually go with her heart? Is she willing to say, okay, universe, this is very unhealthy for me, and I'm willing to remove the hooks. But right now, the hooks actually are her safety. So you see, she's in this internal mm-hmm. battle. She's really torn. And mm-hmm. but that's what hooks do, right, is that on the mm-hmm. one hand, they kind of feel known and safe in a strange way. You see it in codependent relationships. Right? Mm-hmm. Where, and this codependency isn't necessarily love, you know, lover relationship, right? It could be with a mother and a child, right? Mm-hmm. So, but this codependency we have to watch out for because those hooks are going both ways. And especially with someone who's a giver, you've got a giver and a taker. So you've got these polarities, right? And so, again, going back just with this polarity idea, you've got the corporation that's the taker, and you've got the client, right, who is the employee as the giver, right? There's not healthy boundaries, and there's not a full commitment to the self and the evolution of the soul. So we're exposing this now, right? We're exposing how this dynamic works with the hooks, and they penetrate deeply into the body. So you asked about, you know, how they attach and what goes on. And I think this is really fascinating to know and to understand, because once the dynamic is there energetically, the person is vulnerable, and we start to move into a different dimensional realm, right? We're starting to look into more of the etheric body and the aura and the chakras, the energetic structures and systems that make you up. When the situation and the personas are playing a game together, and one is more vulnerable to the hook, here comes the hook. And this is, again, it's a bioplasmic energy that has substance to it, right? Think of hard plastic. Think of hard plastic. And when that hook penetrates the chakra, the reason why it would penetrate a chakra is because each of the chakras stands for something. It stands for a lesson that we're to learn, overcome, a value that we're to gain in this lifetime. And so that's why I was saying with the relationship, it would be sacral chakra to sacral chakra, or it could be power center to sacral chakra if it was an overbearing person that wanted to dominate them. The hook penetrates. And what happens is the subconscious becomes more open. And when that subconscious becomes more open, the barriers, your defense mechanisms go down, right? And it goes in, and it goes in very deep. And what happens is immediately it's like there's an alarm that goes off, okay? There's this alarm that goes off in your energetic system structure and your physical body even. So when this alarm goes off, what it's saying is, uh-oh, we've got to protect her. Right? We've got to protect her from this hook, the consciousness of this hook, right? And it's damaging because it can also cause that chakra to spin backwards, to literally for that time lock up. Think of a fan blade, you know, the fan blades of a fan locking up, the engine of the fan stopping and or going backwards, right? So when we see that the hook comes in and the alarm bells go off, what happens is your body and being start to literally create this hardening around the area where the hook is. Okay? It's almost like it immediately starts to form a protection. Okay? When we see this protection, what we're looking at is a hardened area. Now, again, you think about this, it's like, okay, well, it's hardening, this bioplasmic energy is now preventing the hook from growing, if you will, or influencing the area that's around it, right? It's like, oh, you know, so we see these muscles. It's like the muscle bindings. It's like, ooh, the muscle tissue in the physical body starts to tighten up. It's like, ooh, we've got to contain this. We've got to contain this so that energy doesn't spread or that hook can't do more damage. Okay. So the hooks can be huge, Sophie. I've seen big hooks. And, I mean, literally, like, if you imagined an anchor from a big ship, right? I've seen auras turn into hooks that literally wrap around the other person, like you're mine, especially with needy behavior, right? It's like, I need you, right? And the desperation and all this, especially if there's conflict, consistent conflict, and one of those is playing the needy one. That's an example of that. So when the hook comes in and this bioplasmic energy is there, what happens is there's inflammation. It creates inflammation in the body because, again, like any foreign substance or, you know, object, is like, uh-oh, wait a second here, right? So we're trying to fight against that snagging dynamic, right? But it puts this strain and stress on our immune system. It impacts especially the pituitary gland, the thymus. And it doesn't allow for our ascension to go smoothly. It creates these speed bumps, if you will. Our awakening is hampered, you know, because we're trying to run these high vibrations through our being. Right? We're talking about, oh, I want to be in this high vibration, and we can literally do the shifting and clearing, like especially with the integrations. We do the integrations. We're clearing the personas and transforming them and bringing them to a higher vibration. If maybe an aspect of us was holding despair or grief, and we transform that, we're transforming it into a higher vibration. But again, what's taking up space in your body? Right? The lower level energies that are being held in place due to the hooks and even the incompletions from the past, it's this tug of war going on. It's a fight. It's a fight for space in your being. And so eventually the body starts to shut down. So we're finding all these neurological disorders and all these things that really weren't around before, you know? And so now we're looking at, wow, how is the nervous system impacted? So if you've been feeling a lot of anxiety, if you haven't been able to sleep at night, you know, what we're looking at is hooks that are happening now on a global scale in our society. There are hooks coming from the government even, right? We're feeling hooked. Right. We're feeling drawn into a dynamic that before we would have just, you know, been hanging out in our home. We weren't thinking too much about a lot of things that are now coming to the surface, right? So this is a little bit, you know, to answer your question, a little bit about the dynamics of hooks.
Yeah. Wow. That's really very interesting. There are two little questions I have that popped up in my mind by listening to you before I go to more bigger questions. One is, so that made me think of addictions. I suppose that pretty much any addiction includes the presence of hooks. Is that correct?
These are a lot of karmic hooks. So if you think about as a soul, you might have incarnated to overcome something and to have to engage your power of strength, internal power, which comes through a deeper faith with the divine, right? It's allowing yourself to know the truth of yourself as a strong, dynamic, powerful being. And so sometimes we incarnate and we get hooked in to drugs or alcohol or, you know, shopping addiction, right? And a lot of this is about consumption. We're hooked in to consume. This is going on in our society as well, right? I mean, we can get anything delivered to our door, right? We can get anything delivered to our door. So we have to observe, especially we have to just be aware, right? And if it's a karmic hook, you know a lot about karma and karmic entanglements because that's the work that you do, right? So, you know, we have to undo that. And again, it's really important if you're working with someone and, you know, just in life and you're or they're in your family, let's say, and you've got, you know, your brother that's addicted to alcohol, the tendency is to want to support them to unhook them, right? It's like, I want to support them. I feel for them, right? But are you getting hooked into the dynamic as well?
Absolutely.
Of that
yeah.
addictive hook, and now you're the enabler, right?
So yeah. Or the rescuer. I was thinking of the rescuer is pretty much hooked up to the pain of the world and the pain of people, right? And the reason of being, the reason of existing of the rescuer is that there would be pain. So,
yeah. So we're on an evolutionary path. We're on an ascending path. And we actually have been called to a greater experience. And this is why opening up to the holographic realm is so important and really vital when we're dealing with the hooks, right? It's really important because you can't just think, oh, I'm just going to extract this, you know, take this hook out. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that would be nice, but you need to be supported. You need to be in a stable situation, and you need to actually access the subconscious and open the subconscious. That's where the hypnotherapy comes in, where we actually have to go and take the client deeper into the subconscious, into a trance-like state, and access that 5D reality. And when we access that 5D reality, now we don't have the bindings that are naturally there, or the pressure, if you will, of the time and space. Of the 4D, right? We actually go through that 1111 gateway that Metatron, Archangel Metatron, shared with me. It's like moving to the 5D and moving into and taking that path up to 5D and moving in through the 1111 gateway. And this is really allowing us to utilize the energy of the universe, where we are consciously acknowledging, like I was saying before, consciously acknowledging our power and our abilities. But again, do you try to do the extraction yourself? It's kind of like this, you know, if you needed a tooth extracted, would you try to do it yourself? Or would you not only go to a dentist that's qualified, you as a surgeon? I want to go to an oral surgeon to remove my tooth, right? It's like, wait a second. I don't want an amateur doing it. And unfortunately, what has happened and what I've seen is that you might take the hook halfway out. So now, if you have followed along with me, right? It's like dynamics in your world, dynamics in your life, dynamics in your relationships dictate and are expressed energetically in your structures of your chakras, your aura, your senses, your sensory acuity and abilities as an intuitive, right? So if we pull, if someone, I could say, you know, better, if one would try to extract the hook themselves and only get it partially out, now it's halfway in and halfway out, and it's impacting a different body in the aura. So maybe
it's
you
making
took it
even
from
more
emotional. Yes, maybe you took it from the emotional body in the aura where it was sitting, and now you've pulled it out to the mental body. And so now you're engaging in a dynamic that is taking what used to be, at least you were used to the dynamic with the person that was hooking you, right?
Yeah.
But now what are you creating? Now there might be a defense mechanism or constructs that start to be created in that mental body. Maybe it's a survival mechanism that forms or a protective mechanism. You see? So it's really imperative that we have support. And we do it the correct way with the energy dynamics in place. you see? We don't want to go messing around. And just the other day on Facebook, I had someone reach out to me and she's like, oh my gosh, yes, I knew I had these hooks and I started pulling them out, but something's not right. And this is what I told her. You have to observe and have to be able to recognize the binding, the way that it's bound. And sometimes we've got these little barbs. I mean, some of these hooks are 3-pronged, 4-pronged. They've got barbs on the end. I mean, you don't want to start to just pull that thing out, right?
Right.
And so that's why I, because I've been doing a lot of work with Metatron's Cube, that's why I love, you know, tapping into that resource.
So what's the thing of working with Metatron's Cube? Because I'm listening to you and I'm thinking of, okay, if I had hooks, I would certainly want them out. And then I'm wondering, oh wow, how do we do that? Does it hurt? Do I need anesthesia, some kind of pain relief? And I hear you about Metatron's Cube. Is there something about that kind of procedure that makes it easier or painless, or what's the trick with this? What's the way of work?
Well, for one, we engage Archangel Metatron, and I've been working with Archangel Metatron for many years now, and started being able to see things that were based in the future. Archangel Metatron is really the archangel of the future and is invested in our future and knows already the place where we become enlightened, where we become fully liberated as a being of oneness. And so when we look at Archangel Metatron's Cube, this is a beautiful being. The cube is a being that holds sacred geometric shapes. Of course, to bring them down into our world, we have to bring form to them, right? So we draw them out, right? So the star tetrahedron is an example. The six-pointed star is an example.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's different shapes here. And what we're looking at and knowing is that everything in the world that has come into reality came into reality because of the sacred geometry that makes it up at the deepest level, the smallest level, right? Mm-hmm. So just, you know, when you think about the building blocks of the cosmos, it's made by Archangel Metatron's Cube. It's made up and coming into manifestation because of the sequences of energy vibrations that are brought together. Okay? It's like, think of an orchestration. So if you think about an orchestra and all of the instruments, and each instrument is a sacred geometric shape, and each instrument then creates a vibrational wave, right? A resounding wave, an echo. And as the energies of those waves collectively dance in the space, you've got a song, right? And so each one of us, we talk about our soul song. Each one of us has a unique soul song. In our heart, we have the sound of the orchestration of our creation blueprint. Everything has a creation blueprint, and Archangel Metatron's Cube is the one that the divine used, right, to help bring that about. So what I was told is that Metatron's Cube can bring into creation and also can discreate.
Right.
So it can dismantle. It can dissolve creation. You see? When we utilize the power of Metatron's Cube, it's coming in and it's a very light, precious type of energy, but it enters in. It's like it knows how to get in, dissolve, and get out. And then it knows how to go back in, and it knows how to dissolve the bindings and to heal the tissues and to reset the nervous system and the energy, especially for me, I work with the pineal, the pituitary and thymus, the upper triangle, right? So the organs that actually support the illumination of your conscious being, this is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing this soon.
Oh,
we're all
going to
gather together. Yeah, we're all going to
gather.
Yeah,
you have
together.
A workshop coming soon, right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, I want everyone to really imagine the power of the collective consciousness of all of us knowing this information that I shared today. And preparing, doing the preparatory work and really starting to connect in with Metatron's cube and the power that it has to be gentle in nature, to help to open the subconscious, to allow us, and I'll be guiding you through this journey where we will get you into a trance state so that the subconscious is revealed. It's like being able to access the room, the engine room of the mind, right? It's like the control center of the mind. And we're going to not only go in and access where the hooks are, but we're going to heal up different types of hooks, because there's different types of hooks. And we see that it's partially what I communicated earlier about the, you know, the empath with a narcissist, for example,
right?
I mean, there's huge dynamics that happen now where we start to see, you know, all these energies of people wanting to victimize the other and manipulate the other. So we'll be together and we'll start to clear these dynamics that are really causing a person to struggle.
Yeah.
Right.
One thing I'm wondering is how do I, now I hear all you're saying, and I'm like, how do I know where do I have hooks and all of this? And in this workshop that you are offering, how will we know where the work is done, and, you know, because
I could relate
to many hooks in myself, but I don't know, is it a hook, is it not a hook, how do we find out?
Well, like I said, you know, it's important to have someone support you on the way. Let's say, for example, again, going into an alcoholic type of situation.
Right.
That person is an alcoholic, but what organ does alcohol impact in the body? It impacts the liver, right? You can imagine that addictive hook goes right into the liver. I mean, everything makes sense. Right. Everything makes sense. Just the other day, I was working with a client that had this large hook stuck in her throat. Right. And she grew up with narcissistic parents, and she had put this shell around her body. So here I am. I'm in there. Right. It's like I'm in there. And actually, I wasn't even doing a clearing on hooks. I wasn't doing a hook removal session, but I got in there and I'm like, oh my goodness, you've got this huge hook with these two barbs in your throat. And she says, oh my gosh, yes, that must be from my parents. So I scanned it. Yes, it's from the narcissistic parents. But because she had that situation growing up, and because she needed to somehow protect herself, even though she was being hooked on a daily basis, and the energy of the hook, what flares up when it comes to life. So when you're in a communication with that narcissistic person, there's heat and energy that comes in, and it's a pulling and a tugging. And so what she did is she then put a shell around her aura, And that was to protect her from the energetic vampiring, right? Because there was a lot of energy manipulation and control. So she's this recipient of this hook. And when we look at that, we start to see that the recipient of the hook doesn't feel in control. So then they start to create a control mechanism so that, you know, because what they're trying to do is they're doing these kind of energetic somersaults to try to avoid confrontation, avoid the situation, right? And going deeper into this, of course, she is a victim of sorts as a child to the situation, right? And we start to see the dynamic of the narcissistic parent with this combination of entitlement and low self-esteem, right? So the parent actually has feelings of inadequacy projected onto the child. And so if the narcissistic parent messes up, that mess up, if you will, that error becomes the fault of the child or the fault.
Yeah.
Right? The it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be child-parent. It could be partnership. Let's say that a narcissistic person feels unattractive. They're going to start belittling their romantic partner's appearance, right? If we start to look at this, I mean, it's kind of an insidious, manipulative type of abuse where there's kind of a backhand, a passive-aggressive behavior, giving you subtle hints, right? Subtle hints, comments that actually result in the victim questioning their own behavior. And when this happens, it's like, what am I doing wrong? Questioning who, you know, what did I do wrong? You can imagine this as a child saying, you know, I'm no good. I'm not good enough. And there's all these tactics, right, that go along with hooks. There's, you know, underhanded kind of public humiliation when the narcissist starts saying something, you know, seemingly neutral, but absolutely offensive to the victim. But the narcissist, in a strange, twisted way, enjoys the emotional reaction that comes out of it. And the narcissist is playing, you know, cat and mouse, but is just keeping that person hooked. This happens so much. It even happens between a practitioner and a client. Sometimes what happens is the client hooks the practitioner and wants to be a dependent, right? Attention from their mother and father, so they're looking for a mommy figure or a daddy figure and wants to be taken care of, but the boundaries aren't healthy, right? And the practitioner is playing the role of, you know, well, this is a client, and, you know, now we're doing 3 sessions a week, and I'm available by phone at any time, day or night, you know, but the practitioner feels important. The practitioner has now made it in their mind that they're doing good work, but there's no boundaries. So I would say we have to really observe our own behavior and the dynamics and wake up to what's going on underneath the surface and really ask ourselves, what can we do? And I know this is probably one of your questions, Sophia, as you started to bring that up. Like, what, you know, what can we do? And that's why I created it. You know, that's why it came into my consciousness, to create this.
How does it work? Because I hear you, Metatron's Cube, what's the whole orchestration, I would say, of the of the hook removal that you are offering?
The page is academyforthesoul.com/hook removal workshop. And if you go to that page, you're going to be able to see what's included in that. You'll find that hooks keep you in this place of being snagged where you can't get traction. You can't move forward. And we have to at this time, right? So we're doing that group call. This is where I'm going to be sharing a little bit more about the hooks. We're going to learn about the four major types of invasive hooks and how they are the dynamics disabling the energy field from flowing the energy properly, right? So we're going to literally start to clear. And I have to tell you that, you know, it's pretty deep. As we go in, we're calling forth a deep clearing of the energy that's forming the muscle bindings, the calcified barbs, these bioplasmic hooks, the sabotaging protocols, the victimization beliefs that keep the suffering in place, and clearing the karmic impact with that. And we're utilizing Metatron's cube. And so we're literally going to go into the cellular, emotional, mental toxicity, the debris and the aura and the field. We're going deep into the energy that is surrounding. So all of the necrotic tissue that is around the hook that's caused from it being there. We're going into the endocrine system, into the bone marrow. Really, I mean, Sophie, we're going very deep, even into the genetic archives and starting to clear the imprints, the memories that have been passed down. We're talking about disorders, diseases passed down from family members. We're looking at the parallel lives, okay? So we're actually really starting to go, deep into the mutations in the genetic coding of the DNA. So there's a lot that we're actually shifting and clearing here.
And so for that, I may not have all the awareness of it, but I suppose that the way you lead the process and the way the Metatron's cube operates is that it doesn't matter that I don't have the awareness. I don't have the awareness of what's in my parallel life, for example. But even without that awareness, I will receive the healing, right?
Think about this. Metatron's cube knows to work with your higher self and your soul. This is what this is all about, right?
Okay, so, they're working together.
I've seen miracles happen. Every Metatron's Cube session that I've done, and I've done at least 1,000 of them, there's an intention part to this, right? Because when I'm working with a client, and I have the client in the beginning set an intention, you could come to this with an intention to not just clear the hooks. Maybe you want to clear something else. Maybe there is a dynamic that you've been working on that, you know, you couldn't clear. But it's going to, some part of that's going to be cleared because your intention is very powerful. And Metatron's cube is linked up with your higher self at this point. So it's a portion of that energy is going to be cleared as well because you brought it into the space.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's one more point that I want to make that's really fascinating and interesting about working with Metatron's cube is because with Metatron's cube, there's nothing left behind. There's a full elimination, right? Everything is eliminated. So that's why I call it the hook removal and elimination workshop. This isn't going to come back. But, of course, we do need to have the person come into a state of awareness about their behavior. And so, again, in the workshop, that's why I'm doing the education piece on the four types of hooks, because I want to bring to your awareness the dynamics that are sitting in the subconscious. But this is the full elimination. And so Metatron's cube doesn't leave anything behind, but also there's no energetic hangover. You know how sometimes you do a workshop and you're kind of like energetically hungover?
Yeah, you need 3 days to get over it.
Yeah, right? It's like you're dragging, you know? This is light.
Yeah.
This feels light. This is like you're going to actually, after you get these hooks, you've got more space inside your body for the light to enter in. You'll feel this sense of lightness. You'll feel through that space that there's the opening especially because we take you through the 1111 gateway, which is going into that higher dimensional realm. You have now access to these higher vibrational frequencies. I mean, you literally are now going to be able to revisit that space, and you're going to feel that deeper connection with the divine. You will feel the progress that you've made. There'll be this experience of, I don't have any words, right? It's just like, you know, you're just like connecting with the divine. And that really preps your being for the next evolution of your soul. You're now in alignment and attuned, but definitely infused. There'll be a whole infusion of light and energy that Metatron's Cube is going to bring down and start to bring in. Again, we're going deep into the bone marrow. We're going deep into the physical body. We're going into the energetic structures. So you're going to be remodeling, if you will, the energetic structures. So we're talking about the meridians. We're talking about the transpersonal chakras, the chakras, and we're also looking at the aura. So you can see how after we shift this, there'll be a greater level of communication in all the systems, physical body, organs, and also the energetic systems and structures.
Right. Yeah, and what I'm getting is that since Metatron's Cube work with the higher self, once the procedure, let's say, is done, then my higher self is going to take care of guiding me to have different behaviors, different ways. And if I'm listening and if I'm following the guidance of my higher self, I can be pretty sure to, let's say, avoid creating new hooks, right?
And so, you know, a good question that you're bringing up is, how do I avoid getting hooked in the first place, right?
Like, how does one avoid that? Yeah.
In the first place. And this is so important. Because part of the deeper work, which sometimes is overlooked now because we're in a time where everything is on high speed. I just want to get through it, right? Just come on, let's get through it. I just say, pull the hooks out, hurry.
Yeah.
You know,
click, click.
The reality is we're on a journey of learning and we're on a journey of empowerment, and we need to be alchemists. We have to take that old and turn it into something new in a new form, in a new reality with a new perspective, holding ourselves in a different way. One of the greatest things you could do is you could be in a state of awareness with observation. Okay? So if you're in
awareness,
a state of awareness,
right.
And you become witness observer, you're in a prime state to reject the penetration of the hook in the first place, right?
Yeah, especially if I set an intention of, for example, of maintaining or bringing the integrity of my being, then with that witness observer is gonna look out for this, right? With this intention being set.
Absolutely. And that integrity comes from your alignment with truth, the quality, the value of truth with a capital
right.
T. Boom. Right? What is the truth of my relationship with this person? Just because they're taking care of me financially, right? It doesn't mean I'm going to stay in an unhealthy relationship. I mean, how many people stay in relationships because they start to have these feelings of and questioning themselves? Well, will I ever find anyone else? Will anyone else love me? You know, I mean, literally, they're in that state of mind, which is a weakened state of mind. It's not a strong state of mind. It's not a state of awareness in alignment with truth. They're living their life and pretending. And if you're in a pretend mode, living your life, you're more vulnerable to being played. Because
right.
if you're playing a game, the pretend game, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to attract people that also play a pretend game, right? So
yeah.
we also have to, again, in going back to this understanding of being aware and being witness observer, there's a responsibility there. I have a responsibility to live out a life that is truthful to my soul's assignment, my soul's mission. Right? So
yeah.
there's a strength
so,
in that.
You know, that brings me an idea. Can there be healthy hooks? Like, if I would, because I'm thinking, okay, we need to unhook from all the ways of being, of lack of awareness and all around that, and pretty much unhook from an old paradigm. Does it mean that it would benefit us to hook into a higher paradigm, or do we want to go hookless?
Yeah, it
you know?
Wouldn't be a hook, right? It
mm.
would actually be a communication, like a telepathic communication channel.
Right.
Right? It looks
Flow,
more like
right.
I'm
mm.
now connected through a telepathic channel.
A channel, right?
And
right
so,
a channel.
Yeah.
Mm.
So imagine if you clear all these hooks and the unhealthy ways that you're interacting with people, and you open up the space for the intuitive channels to be activated, these inner passageways start to be unlocked. And now what's happening is the energy that's coming down through that channel is actually able to enter all the way in to your being and get in and through the body easily mm. and more easily flow. And what this does, it allows you to have more accurate intuition. It allows you to feel more confident and certain about the messages that you're getting from the divine. It truly allows you to be more available when you're in the practice of awareness, witness, observer, and aligning the truth. Because truth is light.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is the aha, oh yeah, oh my gosh, that so resonates with me. So your higher self has been wanting to channel light of truth. The hooks are in the way of that. They're blocking
right.
that clear telepathic communication, and they're blocking in different places of, again, the systems and the structures. So there's not a flow, which you should have, is a natural flow between the auric field, the meridians, the chakras going into and supplying information to the organs of the body and the systems of the body. To be a whole being, a total being, illuminated. And that's what we're after, right? We want to be fully illuminated. We want to be fully awake and aware. And we want to know that deeper level of truth about us, that we are this dynamic, divine, sovereign being. So this is why we've brought this to everyone today.
Yeah, wow.
So
I
so
can
vital.
See how we want these hooks out, and we want to move out of this hooked paradigm and move into
yes.
a channeled paradigm, right? And
yes.
so I see how it's really wonderful that you are bringing this workshop. People are going to be able to unhook and to
mm-hmm.
get healthier in that way, and to get to a healthier way of living. Wow. Very,
yeah.
very, very timely. I believe there feels to be so much pressure
mm-hmm.
that unhooking from all of this is going to make a great, great difference.
It will.
Yeah.
It absolutely will. It absolutely will.
And I can see how then there's kind of ripple effect in, well, those who unhook are going to role model for others, like, wow, you're different. How come you don't act in those ways anymore? How come you shifted this so easily? How come you changed, you dropped this job? How come all of this happened so easily?
Yes.
And it's going to show to others that it is possible, and it's going to show to others the awareness of hooks. That is the first step, right? Because we need to need to know that it exists. And I think it's very, very important for people to know that it's possible to get out of all this entanglement and all of this hooking and everything, you know? So,
because we hook as well. We're not just the recipient. We have hooks out there as well, right?
In what so ways am I?
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So we're welcoming everyone. We're inviting everyone. We're excited about this time that we're going to have and the power we're going to create in our sacred container. We're going to have the archangels there with this container and really start to go on a beautiful, this is a beautiful guided journey, calling in Archangel Metatron and utilizing Metatron's cube and really tapping in to the sacred geometric power of creation to discreate. And with that, remember, everything is exponential when done in group. So we actually will get the benefit of the output of energy from the collective. So that means, Sophie, if you're unhooking something from your pineal gland, let's say from a past life where you were hooked in by the church and you weren't allowed to use your clairvoyance, if you're unhooking that during this, everyone else is unhooking that hook as well. It's very, very powerful, and we're going into a state of energy, a vibrational frequency realm that allows us to not be hindered by the 3D or 4D. It's beautiful.
Wow. Do we need to have any prior knowledge of anything?
I think you'll feel very taken care of. I think you're going to be in that experience. Remember I said, you know, it's like when the truth starts to flow, the truth feels good. And so you'll be held in that loving container. So it's mostly the power of the intention to make you ready.
Okay. So that can be the way we prepare ourselves. Decide on our intentions, and I guess we can make it broader than just a few hooks. We can include much
absolutely
more than, right.
Absolutely.
Oh wow! Well, Christelle, you have answered all of my questions and much, much more, even questions I didn't know I had. So thank you for sharing all your expertise on the subject and with so much clarity. Not only your expertise that you share, but offering solutions to this. I can see that it's a major issue, all this hooking and the presence of hooks. So thank you for offering all these insights and offering solutions even better.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting
me. Thank you.
That
was wonderful. I know the healing will be even more wonderful. It's just this is just a taste of what it's going to be like.
Absolutely. Oh, you're so welcome. And blessings, everyone. Thank you for sharing your time with us. So beautiful to do together.
Thank you. Bye-bye.